America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
I think it comes down to this, Jeff. Some people like to be educated. They like to learn. They like to listen. And other people think they know everything, Menegan. So it's like, you know, I just want to hear what he has to say. Obviously, there's a new role for this man, and he is going to be calling the plays with a quarterback that we really haven't seen much of all season long. So I'm very much looking forward to this press conference, even though Dan isn't. But, you know, it should be a good one at 11 o'clock.
I agree with you completely. Mm-hmm. Now, we know the guy's been on the staff as the offensive coordinator. What we don't know is, why is he here? And what happened in Buffalo? And I did a little checking on some things, and because I wanted a better understanding of it, and I think I got a better understanding.
So you called some of your buds in Buffalo?
No, I just did a little digging and reading and finding some things out. I thought it was kind of interesting.
Share your wealth of knowledge with us, friend.
Well, it's interesting. And remember, Ken was here as a quarterback for a while. He's on the shirt. And, you know, played quarterback at Miami, University of Miami, and won national championship back then, and good for him and everything else. So he was a quarterback coach. Didn't they win in 2001?
They lost to the Buckeyes. That's all I really care about.
There you go. Andy did a double take. If I'm not mistaken, they won the national championship in 2001.
Does that really matter?
If you win a national championship and you don't beat Ohio State, it doesn't count. Is that the deal?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
It's all about the Buckeyes.
Dorsey's resume as a coach is interesting. And I say that in a complimentary way. The quarterback coach has been his main thing, you know, but he got an opportunity to be the offensive coordinator in Buffalo. But he started with the Panthers, was quarterback coach for a bunch of years, like 5-6 years, then was out for a year and went to Buffalo as quarterback coach, and was quarterback coach and pass game coordinator for 3 years. And then in 2022 was named the offensive coordinator, and they were just dynamite. They were really, really good. And put up a lot of numbers, a lot of points. Statistically, they were all over the place. And, you know, that's what you're looking for, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year, which was last year, they started off great. In the first four games, the Bills averaged over 34 points a game, Andy.
Okay.
Okay, so that's cooking, right? And then this was weird to me. Because in the next six games, the Bills averaged 20.5 points per game. So after a great start, they fell off by more than two touchdowns per game in six games, and he was fired. And in our world, to me, that seems like short sample size. And it also screams to me, well, something else was going on then. Because you don't just, I mean, you averaged almost 35 points a game in the first four games of the season. That's really good. And then it slipped. You were at 20 and a half points in the next six games. Boom, fired. And I just thought that was weird. And the numbers that go along with it were okay. The Bills were 5-5 last year with Dorsey as the offensive coordinator.
Did you think Josh Allen was regressing with him?
That's what they thought in Buffalo, that he was turning the ball over too much and looked not very confident and indecisive. And this is after he had been Josh's quarterback coach for 3 years and offensive coordinator the year before when they all lit it up. And the short sample size on what looks like regression, to me, is I don't know if I fire a guy then, but they did. They were 5-5 with Dorsey last year. After he left, they went 6-1. That's significant, isn't it? 5-5,
yes.
And then 6-1. They went into the playoffs, beat the Steelers, and lost to the Chiefs. The offense had been held under 26 points for six straight games. That's the sample size. You know, here in Cleveland, we haven't scored more than 18 points a game for our Browns this year. We'd love to score under 26 for six straight games, wouldn't we? Anyhow, there's that.
How about just 20?
And I was looking for statistical growth after they fired him, and I think it's hard to see. When Dorsey was offensive coordinator in the 10 games last year, they averaged 370 yards per game. After they fired him, 381 yards per game. So they just picked up another 11 yards per game. When Dorsey was there, 26.2 points per game. Without him, it went up slightly, 27 points a game in the final seven. But now, see, here's the thing. It was from the 20.5, they jumped up to 27 points a game. And it was the 20.5 in his final six games that he's really being judged on. It just makes me think there was more to it than just a six-game slide. I don't know. I don't have anything to back that up. It's just, do you really fire a guy over six games after having such a great start early on?
To me, it sounds like there's
personality.
Yeah,
something.
To me, don't you think in that scenario?
It feels like it because it. But the Bills were, you know, they had Super Bowl aspirations. They were 5-5, and they canned the guy. And then they went 6-1 after he was gone, without statistically being a whole heck of a lot better.
Do you say scapegoat? Do you say?
Well, some people think he was the scapegoat there.
Yeah.
The one thing under the.
So what happens here? Now he's looking for a complete reversal on what we saw in Buffalo, right? So 5-5 in Buffalo.
He's hoping to be Joe Brady here, who stepped in as the play caller and offensive coordinator. Being elevated on that staff. The ESPN report when he got fired, Bill struggled to find offensive consistency and put drives together.
Well, isn't that what we've been watching with the Browns all season?
A lot of turnovers. Not big scoring outputs for an offense that did have big scoring outputs.
If you didn't say that was Buffalo, I would have said that's Cleveland this year.
At the time when he was fired, Josh Allen led the NFL with 14 turnovers and 11 interceptions.
Ken's not throwing the ball to the other team, though. That's the weird part about
Keep
that.
Keep going back to that, Andy, because coaches get blamed, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I just don't I just want to see what this looks like.
Because we're
sitting here trying to struggle to figure out, well, is this Ken Dorsey? The reason that the Browns look like this, was this the quarterback? Well, we won't know. Like, we won't know if it was Dorsey, Stefanski, or Deshaun. Because Deshaun's out. So now
Deshaun
you're
being
trying
out
to get
and
a
changing
read.
Play caller changes where you can look for this, Andy. You're absolutely right. And that's one thing I talked about yesterday is, are you protecting Deshaun here? Because if everything else were the same and you change the quarterback and the offense suddenly looks great, that's just a condemnation of Deshaun Watson and his play, because it would be the second year in a row where a different quarterback came in and lit it up.
I'm also, like, I think this is a hard part for Browns fans, because I think, like, we kind of just need to, and I know you always want to say turn the page. Joe Flacco's success last year in the victory column hangs over this franchise right now like a gray cloud. It does, because keep asking yourself, okay, and
identical, though, last year. Almost identical.
I don't know.
Deshaun was 4-1 in the games that he played.
Joe was 5-1? Okay, so two things people don't want to think
Not
about.
Not playoff game.
Jeff, people don't want to think about the 4-1, right? And they don't want to talk about Joe Flacco's interceptions. Those are two things that get lost in history.
You're pretty darn insightful there.
Right?
Yeah. That's exactly right. Though Joe is throwing it like crazy, he did throw some interceptions last year.
But people don't want to look at it. You don't want you want to remember what's convenient for you when you're trying to build an argument.
Well, if Jameis Winston goes in and throws for 300 yards and three touchdowns, are we going to care about the three interceptions if they win?
No, and it's the 300 yards of positive play that I think that where Browns fans say, well, I don't understand. Like, I don't get it. And then, you know, the other part of it, too, is you hear things out of Berea that when, again, this is all... this is all just kind of mood setting stuff, but it seemed to be the synergy and the atmosphere in Berea was like it hadn't been. It had nothing to do with Deshaun. It's like almost every quarterback that's ever worn the jersey since '99. There was an energy there that we saw that we just haven't seen in forever, in a quarterback. And I mean, maybe it's just picking up a win or having a veteran quarterback that knew how to, you know, do the little things, also compounded with a defense that was playing really, really good during the regular season. So he benefited from that feel good feeling. And then you walk into a season like this year with expectations, feeling like you're going somewhere, and it goes flat right away, like right out of the gate against Dallas. And you're like, okay, well, maybe Dallas is a great team, and maybe we bad luck of the draw for the first game, and then you sneak by Jacksonville, and then you lose games that maybe you should be winning. Again, we're talking about two games this year where you weren't inside a touchdown to win. It's just, it's chance here, it's chance there. It's just, it's one play. It's not having a penalty. It's being disciplined. They're not that far away, but yet it feels like they're a million miles away. When you look at the score at the end of the game, they're not that far away.
Tom's in Westlake. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I have a take on what happened in Buffalo with Dorsey.
Sure.
I have relatives who live there, and they're big football fans.
Oh, good. Good resume.
I can't think of his name, but it was the wide receiver they got rid of who demanded the ball all the time.
You thinking of Stephon Diggs?
Yeah, Stephon Diggs. So he demanded the ball all the time, and my relatives are saying that it messed up Josh Allen. That was the take in Buffalo. Allen was locking on Diggs all the time and not throwing the ball to open receivers, and they finally figured that out and got rid of Diggs, and now he's throwing the ball all over the place. There's no pressure to get it to certain people, and it opened up Buffalo's offense. And unfortunately, Dorsey took the hit for that.
But let me play devil's advocate. That's the same Stephon Diggs who the year before, Tom, was just dynamite for them. So I get it. And now they brought in Amari Cooper, of course, in Buffalo. So that's really interesting. Tom, thank you very much. Clearly, there were some issues there with Stephon Diggs, but it didn't seem to be an issue in 2022 in Ken Dorsey's first year as offensive coordinator in Buffalo.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
On the line is the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. And be sure to listen to the You Better You Bet podcast for more analysis. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you find your podcasts.
Oh, perfect day to talk to Nick. Why? Play caller. That could have a major impact on over-unders and all kinds of things.
Yeah. Maybe.
Nick, welcome back to the show. How are you,
Nick.
Buddy?
What's going on, guys? How we doing?
Well, we're waiting for Ken Dorsey's press conference coming up later on. What does that mean for us? It means for the first time since Kevin Stefanski became head coach of the Browns, he's not calling plays. What does that mean in your world, if anything?
I have a strong thought on the game on Sunday, and I may end up sounding really ridiculous after the fact. I think the game's going to go one of two ways on Sunday. I'll talk about Dorsey in a second. I either think the Ravens are going to win by like 20 points, or I think the Browns are going to win. I don't know if we get much in between here, and I think that's going to be like the Jameis Winston experience moving forward. I'm actually going to have a bet on the Browns to win the game, and I'm going to take the Browns plus the points here. I think you are going to get, obviously, with Deshaun Watson hurt and out, and now Jameis starting, and Jameis being the kind of figure that he is, right? And like, people can criticize what he said about Watson, just more talking about his like charisma on the field and kind of like his way of riling up a crowd. Obviously, the Browns and Cleveland sports fans in general are awesome. Right? They're great fans. And I'm not just saying that to pander. It's the truth. And Browns fans are amazing. And I think in the first game without Watson, especially with Jameis starting instead of DTR, that the crowd's going to be going nuts against the Ravens also. So I think you get a great crowd on Sunday. And Jameis, we know because we saw it in Tampa and in New Orleans also, but mostly with Tampa. When he's the full-time starter, like, he's slinging it. And he's throwing for a lot of yards, and he throws for touchdowns, and sometimes also throws a lot of interceptions, which is where I think, guys, the volatility comes into play here, right? Where I'm saying I think they could lose by 20 or just win the game outright. I do think Ken Dorsey taking over the play calling means that I think we're going to see this team throw the ball a lot. Now, I know Nick Chubb came back last week, but remember what happened last year in Buffalo, right? When Ken Dorsey got fired by the Bills midway through the season, Joe Brady took over and started running the ball a lot more because Ken Dorsey throws the ball. Like, Ken Dorsey wants to run the spread offense. I think you get that with Jameis throwing the ball to Judy and Tillman and Elijah Moore and David Njoku, of course, with Nick Chubb running the football as well. But I think this is going to be a pretty fun offense now with Deshaun Watson gone. We've been calling for this for a long time. Now we've got it. I'm excited to watch the game. I think the Ravens are favored by too many points here. They should be favored maybe by seven, more than seven, guys. I like Cleveland in the game. I'll have a bet on the Browns to win the game.
Will the Browns have more than 20 points?
Yes.
You feel confident in that?
I do.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
I mean, like, okay, so I know the Ravens defense played pretty well last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is a defense that Mike Evans also got hurt like at the beginning of the game. Like, this is a defense that can be had for sure. Stefanski is a great offensive coach. He doesn't have that albatross now into Deshaun Watson. Like, he's the albatross slung around the team's neck financially and in terms of the play on the field. Like, now you actually have a legitimate starting quarterback, and I'm not saying Jameis Winston is like the reincarnation of Bernie Kosar. That's not what I'm saying. But he's definitely better than Deshaun Watson. And I think you get a much better effort coming up on Sunday with a crowd that's going to be super into the games because lifeless Deshaun Watson isn't out there anymore. I do think they score more than 20 points. I like the over in the game. I think this is going to be 27-24 Browns, something in that nature.
What have you always thought of Jameis Winston? You said some really interesting things about him there. I've been stunned that since he left Tampa, I was stunned that it didn't work in New Orleans for him after he sat there with Drew Brees for a year. Really surprised me, Nick.
Well, I think with Jameis, I think he's a tremendous backup quarterback. I don't know if he's ever someone that you want to give the keys to the franchise to, right? And say, this is our guy for 17 games. He's way too volatile. Like, you can't have a start. And just like, you know, like Jameis leaves Tampa, Tom Brady comes in, they immediately win the Super Bowl. Because Jameis is way too volatile to get a team like that over the top. Like, Tom Brady, and look, Brady's not a fair person to compare anyone to, the best ever. But just to say, like, you know, Jameis isn't steady. Jameis can throw for 400 yards and four touchdowns in a game. He can also throw for 400 yards and four interceptions and two get returned for touchdowns. So, like, I don't know if he's a starting caliber quarterback, but I think, like, as a backup or someone coming into a situation like this, you could do a lot worse than Jameis Winston. I actually do think he's one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. And if this makes sense, I still don't. There are quarterbacks worse than him that I would rather have starting every game for me because Jameis will lose you football games and other quarterbacks won't lose you games.
I know you don't like to get into this, and I'm pretty sure it's just offshore stuff. But when it comes to watching coaches to see if they're going to, and this is strictly from the gaming conversation that I want to have with you, just your thoughts on like betting on coaches to get fired, because it does seem like a little bit of a volatile move in the middle of a season to change your play caller. So I'm just curious your thoughts just from a educational standpoint of people that may partake in that.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can even, like, if I can get this up, if it's even open right now. I'm at an offshore right now. Yeah, I'll try and find this to see, like, if there's a market for this open right now for Coach Fired. Yeah, I would just say this about markets like this, and I
right.
think maybe I've given this oh, yeah, I have it here.
Yep.
So let's see who the favorite is. It has to be Doug Peterson.
Yeah, Peterson.
Yeah, Peterson minus 125. Gerard Mayo plus 300 is, like, the Patriots kind of spin out of control. Mike McCarthy, 6-1. Antonio Pierce plus 650. He's never getting fired in his first season. Dennis Allen at 7. I think that might happen if the Saints keep losing games and then they just promote Clint Kubiak. Kevin Stefanski's 12 to, like, there's no way Kevin Stefanski's getting fired. Like, I think 0% chance. 0% chance that happens. I would just keep this in mind. This stuff is fun. We can talk about it.
Right.
And I think I've said this with you guys before. Before Kevin Durant signed with the Boston, signed with the Warriors that summer, someone I know bet $100 on Kevin Durant to sign with the Knicks. The Knicks became the favorite, and then, like, ESPN did a story on how Kevin Durant was likely to sign with the Knicks because he was the favorite in the betting market because one of my friends bet $100 on it, and then he signed with the Golden State Warriors. So these markets don't take a lot of money. They are extremely inefficient. They are fun to talk about. You can bet on them. I just, like, wouldn't glean anything smart from what the odds are. If the Packers beat the you-know-what out of the Jaguars this weekend, I think there's a realistic chance Doug Peterson does get fired.
Nick Kassos joining us, our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. I agree with you. I don't think Kevin Stefanski is going anywhere.
No way.
I think, and we've had...
Not during the season, at least.
We've had other opinions on this that have said, oh, this make if Dorsey does a great job play calling, it makes Kevin's job more treacherous. I think it's just the opposite.
I don't even know what that means.
More precarious, maybe. You know what I mean? It's Dorsey did a great job. That means Kevin was the problem. He's out as head coach. And I've said, no, it's ridiculous. Because if everything's working, he's the head coach.
Yeah, he's also won multiple Coach of the Year awards. He took basically the three of us, Joe Flacco, DTR, Deshaun Watson last year, and PJ Walker, and made the playoffs. He's an awesome head. If Kevin Stefanski got fired by the Browns, today, he would have a job, like the day after Black Monday, he would get hired as the head coach of another team. Now, okay, let's just say that the Browns offense takes off from here, right? What should happen as a result of that? Ken Dorsey gets the credit, or everyone should say correctly that Deshaun Watson was the problem? What do we think it's more likely to be if the Browns offense is good now? That Ken Dorsey's got it figured out over the guy that's won two head coach of the year awards, or it's because the horrible quarterback is no longer playing? I don't know, man. I think this stuff is nuts. Any Browns fan that thinks Stefanski's a bad coach, I'm a Giants fan. I would love my team to have Kevin Stefanski. You can take Brian Daboll.
We've already had him here. We're good. Not as a head coach, but he's
That was a long time ago, to be fair.
That is a long time ago.
All right. What about tonight's game? What do you like, Minnesota Rams?
Okay, so I'm actually going to, because there's stuff happening in real time right now, I'm going to give you guys what I think is a really interesting betting angle for the game. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you guys saw this, and for fantasy football players, this is really interesting. So Puka Nacua has not played for the Rams since week one. Right, he got hurt in week one.
Right.
He's been on injured reserve. I think 2 days ago, the Rams opened, and Browns fans will know that this was the whole Nick Chubb thing, right? When the 21-day practice window gets opened,
right,
you have 21 days to activate that player to the active roster. It doesn't have to be right away. It could be 20 days, anywhere in between. So they just opened Nacua's 21-day practice window, leading a lot of people to think, okay, he's not going to play tonight. Thursday night. Tom Pelissero of NFL Media tweeted this morning that the Rams are optimistic that Puka Nacua plays in the game tonight. So if you've got him in fantasy football, you may get to start Puka Nacua tonight. Just keep that in mind. Not definitely, but just keep that in mind. We'll find out for sure 90 minutes before kickoff. So let's say that Puka Nacua is going to play tonight, or we get a report later in the day. It doesn't have to be, guys, when the actives and inactives come out, but that Puka Nacua is likely to play for the Rams. So right now, you can make all these bets. I would actually put it, and I never advocate bets like this. I don't do it on my show. I don't do it on yours, right? I've never done this before. Same game parlays, I think, for the most part, or you are donating money to the sports book. But in an instance like this, if Nacua plays, Matthew Stafford is likely to throw for more yards than if he doesn't. We can agree on that, right? That's something that I think makes a lot of sense.
I would think so. And Cooper Kupp is back for them as well.
And Cooper Kupp is going to be back in this game tonight as well, right? Exactly. So I would look to same game parlay. And keep in mind, Nacua might not play, in which case the bet probably loses. So you have to get a little more information or be willing to roll the dice and accept the consequences. If he doesn't play, the bet probably loses. Also, don't bet a ton of money on this. You can win a lot. You don't have to bet a lot. Stafford, alternate over passing yards. Think 250 plus, 300 plus. Stafford, two or more touchdowns. And if you want to get real crazy, three or more touchdowns. Mm. Same game parlayed with all the Rams receivers not named Cooper Kupp to go under their receiving yards. Atwell, Robinson, the tight end Colby Parkinson. Again, so if Puka plays, it's going to be Puka, Kupp, and Kyren Williams. Those are the guys that are going to touch the ball for the Rams, and Stafford's likely to throw for a lot of yards, beating the Minnesota Vikings blitz. So that's how I would look to play the game tonight. I've put a couple of those in, and again, they lose probably if Puka doesn't play, and also, if he plays, they don't have to win. I just think that it's a fun way to bet the game, bet a little to potentially win a lot.
Thank you, Nick.
You got it.
Thanks, man.
Wishing you guys Minimal Sweats winning bets the absolute very best of luck. And I'm hoping that Guardians fans don't hold it against the Yankees that we took you guys down in five. And you can root for my team in the World Series starting tomorrow night.
That's not happening.
Yes, again, Nick. Thanks, buddy.
That's not happening.
That was the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Nick Kostos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.